When I first started here at Langford, I have to admit that I was a little bit nervous as I got started. And it's not because of you. You people are delightful. And we felt very welcome immediately. And I recall very clearly on maybe the second or third week I was here, Ralph Hastings, who was on the board, wore a Hawaiian shirt to church. And I thought, I'm going to fit in just fine here. I was nervous, though, because, you know, I was just a new pastor. I was transitioning out of worship ministry. I didn't have all of the experience that, well, an experienced pastor would have. And I am not the pastor that you had 7 years ago. You know, the pastor who was here that first day is not the same as the one I am now. And I'm grateful to you all for being patient with me. Tim Keller says that your sermons don't get any good until after the first 100 or so. So, good news. Nowhere to go but up from here. But it's this tension of being something and yet not being completely all that it is that I want to talk about today. Because that's true not just of pastors, right? I was your pastor and yet not yet all that I would be as your pastor. That's true not just for pastors, that's true for us as believers too. We are, in a sense, all that we will ever be in Christ, but we are also far from being all we will be in Christ. We are very much works in progress. You know, in a sense, we are who we are in Christ right now. When we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, our lives are made new, our security, our eternity is secure. That's set. Nothing can touch that. And yet, we are still becoming who we are in Jesus. Just as you have seen me, I hope, grow as a pastor, I hope that you are seeing in yourself growth into who you are in relationship to God as a believer. To show you why I say that, I want to take you to Philippians 3 today. Philippians 3, verse 10, if you join me there in your Bible. Philippians 3, verse 10, I'll say this. As we look at the passage this morning, there's two questions that I want to ask of this text. One, is it true? Are we really works in progress? And two, if that's true, how do we make progress? You know, there are some people, some believers who will say, well, look, you are immediately all that you will be in Jesus when you believe in him, and your life ought to be morally perfect and complete in all that you do from then on. Is that true? Is that true? Are we really perfect entirely? Are we works in progress? And if so, then how do we make progress? As those works in progress. Well, Philippians 3:10, Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is Paul's fervent desire, his foremost desire, right? He wants nothing more than to be found in Christ, to identify with him, to walk with him on a daily basis. And yet, look at what he says next, verse 12, not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Not that I have already obtained this. Not that I have already been made perfect. You know, that's a striking statement for Paul to make, right? This is Paul talking about. Paul, the super disciple. Paul, the greatest missionary in the first generation of believers. Paul, the guy who wrote, like, more of the New Testament than anybody but Luke. Paul says, I am not yet all that I will be in Jesus. That's verse 12. He says it again in verse 13. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. If there was anybody who could claim to be a perfect Christian, it's Paul. If there's anybody who could say, man, I've got it all together, I've made it, Paul is the one. And yet he says over and over again, I have not yet obtained it. I have not been made perfect. I have not yet taken a hold of it. I'm a work in progress. Now that's something to think about, isn't it? If Paul hadn't made it as a follower of Jesus, then there's no way that we have, right? If Paul had room to grow, then surely we have room to grow too. And I think that that's going to be a challenge for some of us, and it's going to be an encouragement for others. Because I suspect that there are some people, whether in this church or in the world, who will say, well, I've made it as a Christian. I know everything I need to know about believing in Jesus. I apply everything in my life as much as I need to. That's just not true. You're a work in progress. God is still shaping and refining who you are. There is always room for growth. That challenge is going to be for some of us. The other side of it is the encouragement that says, look, if you are still struggling with sin or with self-doubt, you're a work in progress. God is not expecting moral perfection in this moment. You're not all that you will be, but praise God, you're not what you used to be either. And if your heart's desire is the same as Paul's, right, to walk with Jesus, to be found in him, to be united with him, and so be united with him in resurrection, as verse 10 said, then you are headed in the right direction. We're works in progress. We are all becoming who we are in Christ. That's the answer to that first question. Are we works in progress? Yes. Are we works in progress? Yes. The Christian life is not snap, you're perfect. It's snap, you're perfect in God's eyes, and Jesus has made you, taken hold of you for all of eternity, and yet you still need to grow into that the way a kid has to grow into the clothes his mom bought for him just a little bit too big, because you know how we do that. Yeah, like a pastor growing into being a pastor. We are works in progress. That was question one. Question two, how do we make progress? How do we grow as followers of Jesus? Well, look at Paul again, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How do we make progress as followers of Jesus? We press on. We press on toward the goal to win the prize that God has promised. You see it twice there in verses 12 and 14, right? I press on. I pursue. I strive to get it. You know how on cop TV shows when the cops go after the bad guys and they chase them with full force and they overcome every obstacle and not let them get away? That's the word. That's that word. Pursue. Strive with intensity. We, as followers of Jesus, grow in relationship with him by striving after him, by pursuing maturity in him. We make spending time with him the non-negotiable center of our lives, because that is what it's going to help us to grow in all the other aspects of our lives. And I do want to point you to a little turn of phrase in verse 12 that's really neat. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. In other words, because Jesus has claimed me, I am going to press on to claim all that he has for me. Right? That's important for us to hear, because with this talk of pursuit, you might get the impression that it's possible for maturity to elude you, but that's not true. Paul says, look, Jesus has already claimed you as his own. He has taken hold of you. So there is no risk here that you're going to miss out. The only thing that you can miss out on is pursuing maturity in him, growing into that relationship with him. Verse 12 says, you are safe and secure in Jesus' arms. Nothing is going to change that. In a way, it reminds me of 1 Peter. In the very opening verses of 1 Peter, he writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And this is the key part. And into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, which is kept in heaven for you who are being shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's to be revealed in the last time. Do you catch it? As a child of God, you have an eternal inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And not only that, God himself is bringing you to that inheritance. Christ Jesus has taken hold of you, so you press on to take hold of that inheritance that Jesus has claimed for you. Pursue it relentlessly. We are works in progress, pursuing the prize that God has promised. You know, I think that sums up very nicely what Paul says here in Philippians 3. And if you like to write things down, this is a good thing to write down. We are works in progress, pursuing the prize that God has promised. Let me just unpack that a clause at a time. We are works in progress. You are a work in progress. You are safe and secure in God's arms. He has taken hold of you. Nothing is going to change that. And yet, you are not yet all that you will be as a child of God. You've got room to grow. For 20 years, I've loved what Max Lucado says. You know, God loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. He wants to make you just like Jesus. Now, again, I think that this is going to go two ways, right? For some people, this is going to be a challenge. You know, they'll say, well, I've already made it as a Christian. I don't have to grow anymore. Like, I'll tell you, when I started at seminary, I thought to myself, I understand everything. I've got this faith thing all worked out. And then a friend of mine who was already there showed me a test that he did, and I knew nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is never a point in your Christian life where you are going to say, well, I can't do anything more as a believer. I've reached the pinnacle. I can't know anything more. I can't love more deeply. I can't serve more fervently. You're never going to reach that point until we cross into the next age. You know, to stop growing, to stop growing as a Christian is sort of like reaching maturity as a teenager and saying, okay, I'm mature enough now. I'm good. And man, think back to when you were a teenager and you thought you were mature. I wasn't mature when I was a teenager. We got to keep growing. It's a challenge for some, an encouragement for others, though, because we know we're not there yet. Right? We slip in sin. We hit a dry spell. We think, I'm never going to make it. I can't do this. I have to admit that I'm very much in that boat. You know, the deeper I grow in relationship with God, the more I realize I have more growing to do. Right? The deeper I go, the more I realize how much deeper I have. In light of that, I need to say to you and to myself, you are a work in progress. Inherently, that means you're not going to be perfect. You're probably going to slip. You're probably going to stumble. You're probably going to sit on your hands when you should have done something or said something. But look, don't let that discourage you from growth in your relationship with Jesus, but instead invite him to work from the inside out. allow the Holy Spirit to come and rearrange the furniture in your heart so that your priorities are shifted according to his movement. We are works in progress. We are works in progress, and so we pursue the prize, right? Single-mindedly, relentlessly, like a heat-seeking missile, press on toward the prize that God has called for you. That means invest in your relationship with him, right? Make prayer and time spent reading the Bible with him a priority. Remember that 7 minutes with God that we talked about at the beginning of the new year? I realize that we have very busy lives, but we can't let our earthly pursuits prevent us from growing in relationship with the Father who loves us and is in his overall things. You know, put your phone down, put the remote down, go after maturity in God the way a cop grows after a crook. And know this, God is already at work in you. The very last verse of Colossians 1, that's how I always remember where it is, Colossians 1:29, Paul says, to this end, that is seeing people grow in Christ, I labor with all of his energy, which is at work powerfully in me. When we pursue the prize, we are doing so with the energy that God himself gives, and which is itself working in us. We struggle with all God's God-given energy. And I'll say this too. Things might pop up from your past. Every so often, I'll just be around and suddenly some event or thing I said will pop up in my mind and distract me from what I do now. You know, the dumb things I've done in my life. And it'll say, well, look, how can you grow? How can you claim to be a Christian? Remember when you did that really dumb thing? Whenever that happens, this is where I go immediately. Right? Philippians 3. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Press on to what it is that God has called you to do. What you used to be doesn't matter anymore. Take who you are now as a child of God and use that as a springboard to grow into what you will be as a complete, perfect follower of Jesus. And know this, you are secure in that, right? We are works in progress. We pursue the prize that God himself has promised, right? That is the most important thing, I think. We can't lose. We have this inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade. And not only is there that inheritance, there is also the power of God bringing us to receive it. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus, right? You can't lose. So press on to take hold of that for which Jesus has taken hold of you. God is moving you towards perfection in eternity. Take hold of it. Invest in it. Because God has already taken hold of you. You are a work in progress. So pursue the prize that God has promised. Let's pray. Jesus, I am grateful that I am not who I used to be. And I look forward to the person that I will be when you come again. And in the meantime, I commit myself to growing in relationship with you, in maturity with you. God, I don't want to take for granted what it is that you have done to renew and recreate me. And so I ask for your help in becoming more and more like you in my actions and in my emotions, in my thoughts and in my behaviors. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. If we need a nudge to get off the couch and to think about how to grow in relationship with you, give us that nudge. If we need an encouragement to say, you know what, I understand, my child, that you've fallen this time, but let's get back up again. Just keep coming back to me and know that my power in you is overcoming every obstacle, every sin, every hindrance that holds us down. Lord, I pray that you will help us to all be works in progress, moving towards the final perfection that we will enjoy with you for all eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready?
Yep.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Little by little.
A simple song, and yet a very profound theological truth.